The opinions voiced in this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, and financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing. Investment advice offered through Northwest Quadrant Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. Welcome to the Financial Focus Radio Show with your hosts, Tyler Simonis and Josh Finelli. Join us as we discuss markets, bring transparency to issues within the financial services industry, and bring honest, thoughtful analysis every week.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining us on Financial Focus Radio. Well, it's officially the end of the first quarter of 2024, and Friday was a holiday in markets, so the stock market was closed on Friday. So this show was recorded a little bit early this week, but the S&P 500 finished up the week up a quarter of a percent. Small caps, dramatic outperformers, up 1.2% on the week, the last week of the quarter. Small cap value, an asset class we've talked about quite a bit over the past couple years, up 1.5%. International developed markets were flat. Emerging markets, mainly led by China, down about a quarter of a percent on the week. Oil sneakily continuing its rally. WTI crude up $2 on the week to just over $83 a barrel. Brent a little bit higher. Gold up $50 on the week to $22.42. Turning over to fixed income. Bonds, aggregate bond index, up about 0.4%, still in that 3-year drawdown. And the 10-year treasury, down about 3 basis points, 0.03% to 4.2. That Fed sensitive 2-year yield was a little bit higher, on the week. But it has been, quite the quarter indeed. The S&P finished up, the first quarter of 2024 up over 10%. And it's been a party that's included everyone. International developed markets have been rallying relative to the S&P as of late over the last month, but up on the quarter about 6%. Small caps just up over 5%. I know everybody on financial markets news, whether it's Bloomberg, CNBC, or whatever else, always talks about the Russell 2000 small cap index being up 5%. The indexes we use and the indexes that we recommend to clients are up a little bit higher. They have those profitability criteria included in them, and those companies have fared relatively better. Emerging markets, the laggards, just up over 2% on the quarter. But all that window dressing going on the last part of the quarter as active managers try to reconfigure their portfolios. What's done well of late is actually the stuff that has done the worst up till now, you know, on the trailing 1 year. So some of those momentum names have trailed off, and I'll get more into that in a little bit. But the S&P 500, the Euro Stoxx 600, both at record highs. The Nikkei over in Japan just off an all-time high. The Japanese Central Bank exited yield curve control this week, and so they're finally letting rates potentially go positive there, which has led to, surprisingly, actually a further sell-off in the yen at lows not reached since in the wake of the Japanese bubble bursting back in 1990. We had a little bit of a data dump this week. The final revision of GDP was released by the Bureau of Economic Analysis on Thursday. Actually, Q4 GDP in the United States was revised higher, so we got 3.4% growth. That was a little bit better than the previous revision. The big news really was the consumer confidence. UMISH figures came in at 79. That was significantly better than expectations of 74 on that index. Most buoyant consumer confidence since 2021. So, of course, rising asset prices, you know, the feedback into that consumer confidence loop, particularly amongst the more affluent. And importantly there, within that survey as well, you saw diminished forward expectations of inflation, which certainly at odds with the last couple months, but that number has been highly variable over the last couple quarters. But of course, you know, the big risk in markets, at least in my eyes, is higher permanent inflation becoming embedded in expectation. And, you know, that strange characteristic of inflation is such that once it becomes embedded in expectations, it becomes endemic. So it's heartening news to see those expectations adjust to the downside, despite the data, which, you know, has been pretty bad and hard for the Fed to ignore the last couple of months. But jobless claims, another number that came in this week, 210,000. That was slightly better than expectations of 214,000 initial claims. New claims fell in 38 of the 50 states. So I guess there's 53 regions that they actually look at, but new claims falling in 38 states. Coastal areas, Oregon, California, Washington, and the Northeast faring relatively worse than the Midwest and the South, which are still in the midst of this protracted boom. Impending home sales, another one in the Midwest, up 10%, falling in the West and the Northeast. So you're seeing this continued migration, especially of young people, towards areas of relative affordability in that migration away from the coasts. But really, the end of what was a truly spectacular blowout quarter came with a bit of a whimper. But, you know, most importantly, I think, and what people should note, is the stock market rally is definitely broadening. Energy, the lead performing sector, up almost 14% since the start of the year, followed closely by communication services and financials. Industrials and materials, just off the top there, doing very well. So what you're seeing is this broad expansion. What was, you know, characterized as a rally of just seven stocks just a few short weeks ago, really, you know, a month ago, has now expanded to include, you know, really a litany of names down the cap spectrum, and names that are more economically and cyclically sensitive have been the dramatic outperformers of late, which is really good news. You know, this characteristic is really truly signs of like what's an impending bull market. So I'm personally pretty bullish on stocks, and you know, all bull markets feel like this, where they get a little bit ahead of their skis, but we have not really seen much volatility at all to the downside year to date. Actually the lowest number of underperforming days since 1995, which turned out to be a very positive year in stocks. But that broadening rally, small caps the outperformer over the last month, the average stock is now doing significantly better than the index over the last month, that equal weight outperforming the broader index. So that's definitely what you see in the midst of early innings of bull market expansions. The one thing I wanted to talk about the most, I think, and it's probably the most relevant thing for investors out there in terms of how they're allocated and everything else, is you know, we're going to get personal consumption expenditures on Friday when the market is closed, and Powell's actually due to speak on Friday as well. So potentially some market moving news that occurs while markets are closed, not opening up till Monday because that Good Friday holiday. It's not often that you see central banks revise up both inflation and growth projections and strengthen a dovish tilt toward their policy stance. And what that means is their actions are counter to what you would normally anticipate from a central bank. And, you know, for most people out there, what it means is, you know, it may feel great to own these fixed income investments, whether it's treasuries, CDs, whatever it is, but what we're in the midst of is you being devalued. And I think important for most people out there to realize is the debt of the United States is rising by $1 trillion every 3 months. U.S. interest expense is rising by $100 billion every 4 months. We're on track to be printing $1.2-1.3 trillion in interest expense a year forward from now. And the way that they're avoiding blowing out yields on the long end of the curve is by issuing a bunch of shorter duration debt, which in turn creates more sensitivity to rates. And so, you know, they're sort of betting the farm on this one. And it's a little terrifying. And, you know, Tyler and I have talked so much at length about what the real implication is expect higher taxes sometime in the years to come, because there's no getting around it. But thanks for joining us on Financial Focus Radio. As always, if you do want to be a part of the show, please give us a call, 877-670-7117. And if you want to participate in one of those free retirement reviews that we so often offer for potential clients out there listening, please give us a call at the office at 1-800-743-0988.
Get your free one-hour retirement review. Meet with a Northwest Quadrant Wealth Management Investment Advisor today for free. It's our offer to you as a listener to the show. Give us a call today to schedule your portfolio review. 800-743-0988. Again, 800-743-0988.
Highline Homes, one of our favorite questions is, what is your favorite part about your brand new home? Paul?
I think my favorite part is the room we're sitting in right now. It's the kitchen. I can stand here and look at my big screen TV while cooking dinner.
But one of the best things about your brand new Highline home is that you can love the inside as well as the outside.
And then I love my big deck. In the summer, to sit out there, look out across the valley, it's like the one place I want to be at the end of the day. I've built great memories here with my family and my friends.
And we think that's what your new Highline home should be all about, building your happy place. Complete with all the countertop, floors, and cabinet upgrades available to you. And if you've never built before, don't worry. The friendly and helpful Highline Home staff is with you every step of the way, just like they were for Paul.
Like I said, it was a great process. I enjoyed all the people I work with.
Find floor plans, virtual tours, and everything you need to know to get started at HighlineHomes.com. Oregon, CCB 181069.
Highline Homes. On your lot, on time, built right.
Indian Head Casino is celebrating the madness of March with our $66,000 Bracket Buster giveaway. Every Friday and Saturday all month long, win your share of $25,000 in cash and prizes.
But wait, there's even more ways to win.
Mondays, it's Hero Day, honoring veterans, first responders, and medical staff. Win cash, bonus slot play, plus incredible hero drawings.
Thank you for your service.
Tuesdays, it's our Nifty 50 rewards, with hot seat drawings, plus cash and bonus slot play giveaways.
Very clever.
Wednesdays, elevate your entries with hooping hot seats.
He shoots, he scores.
Thursdays are $300 Throwback Thursdays with even more ways to win.
Oh, this is so exciting.
So come in all month for our $66,000 Bustin' Brackets Cash and Prizes giveaway. Indian Head Casino, where winners play.
Must be 21. Management reserves all rights. See the Players Club for details.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online at hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation to determine the ED medication that's best for you. Discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and a range of treatment options, including trusted generic alternatives to the name brands, at up to 95% off. ED is personal, and at Hims, so is treating it. Just go to hims.com/joy and get connected to a licensed medical provider online for free. With zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy for your free online visit. hims.com/joy.
Connect to the Financial Focus radio show on YouTube or iTunes. Listen to past shows, get our bi-weekly e-news, and keep up to date on the market. You can also sign up for our e-newsletter on our website, northwestquadrantwealth.com. Let's get back to the show.
Hey, everyone out there. Thanks for joining us on Financial Focus Radio. I'm your host, Josh Finelli. My usual co-host, Tyler Simonis, be joining us for the rest of the show. I'm on my own for the first couple segments. Well, a little bit of a history lesson. Last week, we neglected to mention that 100 years ago, Edward Loeffler, a former door-to-door salesman of pots and pans, He revolutionized financial markets with his invention of the open-ended mutual fund. What it allowed retail customers to do is buy into a diversified portfolio of stocks and be confident that they would get fair value when they wanted their money back. Mr. Loeffler's innovation gave lower and middle-class people an ownership stake in American capitalism, and it spawned the financial titans like Fidelity and Vanguard and thousands of smaller competitors that directly held mutual funds many people still own today. They still, mutual fund managers still run nearly $20 trillion in assets and about $63 trillion worldwide. And it's still true that more than half of all American households and 116 million of the country's residents hold shares in at least one mutual fund. Of course, you know, we talk about it so much, and we don't use mutual funds ourselves because the mutual fund's dominance is under threat from a new arrival, and namely that's exchange-traded funds that now dominate flows. ETFs got about $575 billion last year alone and get about two-thirds of every dollar allocated now. We had the first actively managed net inflow month a couple months ago, which it's sort of been this slow bleed from mutual funds transitioning to exchange-traded funds just because it's the ETF vehicle is just a better mousetrap. And eventually, most mutual fund assets will matriculate over to the exchange-traded fund universe, but I just thought I would share a little history lesson, and then it's the mutual fund celebrates its 100th birthday, thanks to Mr. Edward Loeffler. Well, a titan of behavioral finance died this week, Mr. Daniel Kahneman, who wrote really a seminal book in the world of behavioral finance, Thinking Fast and Slow. Mr. Kahneman, a favorite quote of mine of his is, "We're blind to our own blindness. We have very little idea of how little we know. We're not designed to know how little we know." Mr. Kahneman was born over in Israel, migrated to the U.S., won the Nobel Prize. But, you know, the central argument of his book, his Thinking Fast and Slow, is, I think it was written in 2011, talks about these two different modes of thought that we as humans enjoy. And they're in constant competition and conflict with each other. And they're so relevant to investing. But system one is that lizard brain that we have that's fast, instinctive, and emotional and drives that emotive decision making. System two is that slower, more deliberate, and more logical system that we is not. It takes time to invoke, and you know, when we think about our own money, we're always invoking system one, and it's that fight or flight instinct that you know the best investors, a la Warren Buffett, seem to live in system two and don't make decisions with respect to system one. But his book, I would recommend to anyone interested in trying to learn about their own ability to make decisions, because the more you're able to reference behavioral finance and think about how your own decision-making is often guided by these evolutionary aspects that you can't really control unless you're aware of them, it's super important. But I thought I'd cover 10 of his core ideas in this segment, and they're evident in the book, but I'll try to give the best summary I can. The first one is that system one and system two, that system one being quick and intuitive, while system two is deliberate and logical. The second one would be prospect theory, which is people make decisions based on perceived gains and losses, often valuing losses more than gains. And that's that reality, that loss aversion heuristic, where people think that, you know, they have this strong preference to avoid losses. If your broker calls you and says you're going to lose money, you're most likely going to act on that decision, where, as they say, you're missing out on the gain, you value that information, you know, dramatically less when making those decisions. Another one being the availability heuristic. Decision-making is entirely influenced by the ease of recalling, followed by the representativeness heuristic. Assessments of similarity or probability are based on how well something fits a category, and that ignores base rates and leads to stereotyping. Another one is the endowment effect. Ownership increases an item's perceived value. That one, I like to think, you know, it relates very closely to another phenomenon we talk a lot about called anchoring, where if you own something, it increases the value of it, and you're less apt to sell it, and because you want to hold it and wait for it to get back to that value that you bought it at. And so you frame that in your own mind as being more worthwhile than, say, the index, which you should be constantly evaluating what you own with respect to each day rather than with respect to anchoring to the price that you paid for it. And so, you know, that anchoring bias points to decisions are overly influenced by initial information, regardless of its relevance. One of my personal favorites of Daniel Kahneman's 10 core ideas is also overconfidence bias. People overestimate their knowledge, abilities, and the accuracy of their own predictions. And it reminds me, one of my favorite quotes as it relates to markets, which is, there's only two types of people in markets, those that have been humbled and those that are about to be. And as we always talk about on the show, you know, all roads lead to indexing because it is so difficult to consistently be right. There's only a few people that have ever done it, and some of the best investors over time have actually retired at the top because they knew that their record of outperformance was unlikely to persist. But that overconfidence bias is another thing that Kahneman talks a lot about. Another key idea is the what you see is all there is. People jump to conclusions based on limited evidence without considering what they don't know. That's that system one lizard brain where, again, it's fight or flight running from the saber-toothed cat. Another one, the framing effect. Presentation of information affects decisions with varying outcomes based on different phrasings. And it's particularly relevant in these narrative-driven markets. That pretty much covers his 10 core ideas, but Mr. Kahneman and the whole idea of behavioral finance is a relatively new field, but he's definitely, you know, as a Nobel Prize winner, definitely a titan in the industry. And if you have not read his book, Thinking Fast and Slow, I would most definitely recommend it to all the listeners out there. As always, thanks for listening. If you do want to be a part of the show, please leave us a message at 877-670-7117 or send us an email at info@northwestquadrantwealth.com. If you are a listener with more than 500,000 in assets and would like a free retirement review, please give our office a call at 800-743-0988. And for frequent listeners of the show, there's a little battle between a certain Larry W. and Tyler. We will be revisiting those emails next week. I've received a number of those emails in response to our segment over the course of the last few days. So keep tuned for that one. It's not going to be something you're going to want to miss.
Sign up for our e-news today. Get the latest thoughts on the market every other week from Northwest Quadrant Wealth Management delivered right to your inbox. The short 5 to 6 minute video helps you keep up with the market. You can always watch past videos on YouTube or on northwestquadrantwealth.com.
Traffic, the most weather. FM 100.1 is News Talk 1110, KBND, Bend.
Why settle for less? With Mazda, get more. At Kendall Mazda of Bend, we're here to guide our customers to that realization of how much quality, luxury, and performance you get with a new Mazda for as little as you pay. With new incentives for spring, it's the perfect time to switch it up with a great deal on a new Mazda. Take advantage of 2.95% APR for 72 months on all new 2024 Mazda CX-30 Turbo models. Or you can get into the popular new Mazda CX-5. Take advantage of special 3.9% APR for 60 months on all new 2024 Mazda CX-5s. Discover exceptional value and stop by Kendall Mazda of Bend and see for yourself. Kendall. Let's start something great.
2.95% for 72 months with $15.15 per month for $1,000 financed. 3.9% for 60 months with $18.37 per month for $1,000 financed. All financing on approved credit with Mazda Financial Services. Price does not include title registration tax or $250 admin fee. Subject to prior sales, see dealer for details. Offer expires 4/1/24.
We live in a high desert wonderland.
And you like to be outside.
The Bend Factory stores have what you need.
For the Central Oregon outdoor lifestyle.
Make a bold statement and save up to 70% every day.
Over 20 famous brand names like Columbia, Nike, and Pendleton.
And locals like Learning Express Toys, Runway Fashion Exchange, and Cascade Mattress and Bedroom Furniture.
Shop with nothing in mind and find exactly what you wanted.
Great buys that reflect your personality.
Hip, hip, hooray for the Bunny Buffet at Learning Express Toys. It's easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, pick your bucket. 2, fill it with $25 of your choice of toys from the Bunny Buffet. 3, you get the bucket for free. And it's personalized with your child's name on it. Learning Express Toys is an interactive toy shopping experience unlike any other. Their toy experts are glad to demonstrate world-class toys that teach and entertain.
Smart shoppers start at the Bend Factory Stores, South Highway 97.
Because everyone needs an outlet.
Hunting for a new place to live in Bend? Want amenities like a modern kitchen, attached garage, washer-dryer? Put Alpine Meadows Townhomes on your list of places to see. Alpine Meadows Townhomes, quiet and affordable. With 1, 2, or 3-bedroom floor plans, you'll find the space you want and call it home. Alpine Meadows Townhomes. See them online, then call for a personal showing. 541-330-0719. Conveniently located on Northeast 6th in Bend.
When you think about family and home, hopefully it brings back some wonderful memories. That's what Mountain Glen Apartments are all about, making new memories for your family. When you call Mountain Glen home, you'll enjoy a modern designer kitchen with plenty of counter space and storage. Choose from 1, 2, or 3-bedroom homes on the corner of Butler Market and Boyd Acres Road. Mountain Glen, where memories are made. Find them online, Mountain Glen Apartments. Then call for a personal showing, 541-383-9313.
Plateau Travel Plaza. Food, fuel, and fun. After a long day and you want to play, get your mind off of the road. Have a great meal, try your slot machines. Life's good on the plateau. Quick stop anytime, get you everything under the sun. Life's good on the plateau. Food, fuel, and fun.
Experience a trifecta of delight at Plateau Travel Plaza in Madras. Breakfast, lunch, and winners. And now, breakfast bingo at our 3 Teepees restaurant on select Wednesdays. Fill up with budget-friendly fuel, shop for local treasures and travel essentials, and elevate your excitement with 40 thrilling slot machines in our game room. Breakfast, lunch, and winners. And now, breakfast bingo. It's all here at Plateau Travel Plaza.
Life's good on the plateau. Food, fuel, and fun.
You're listening to Financial Focus Radio Show, where you get honest and actionable advice every week from the partners at Northwest Quadrant Wealth Management. Remember, you can always listen to past shows on iTunes or find us on northwestquadrantwealth.com.
Welcome back to Financial Focus Radio. Thanks for joining us. If you want to sign up for our e-newsletter, Josh and I do a video in the middle and end of every month where we talk about what's going on in the old capital markets and how that affects our clients' money. But you don't have to be a client to get added to the list of e-news listeners. Just go to our website, northwestquadrantwealth.com, and you can get added to the e-newsletter list. So this could be one of the reasons the Fed did what they did last week. I think Josh is in the camp that believes that. And that is this debt spiral that we find ourselves in as a country. More debt plus higher interest rates equals, of course, higher interest expense, right? We all understand that. And that's obviously been the formula here in the United States for the last few years.
The U.S. government continues to spend money like a drunken sailor with a budget deficit of $1.8 trillion with a T. Importantly, this is occurring when the economy is expanding and home and stock prices are at record highs. Usually when we run a budget deficit like this, we are in a recession like the global financial crisis. But here we are with unemployment sub 4%, the U.S. economy are growing, let's call it 3%, and we are running a huge deficit. That historically in our country has not happened. This is a problem. We wonder what it's going to look like when we do actually have an economic downturn, what that deficit is going to look like. And I promise you, it's not going to be pretty. The national debt now stands at over $34.5 trillion, up from $23.5 trillion just 4 years ago, people. That's a 50% increase.
Well, and as a percentage of GDP, it peaked in Q2 of 2020 at about 133%. We got down to 116 or so, so we lopped off a good chunk of it with inflation through 2022. And here we are ticking back up again. We're in the low 120s, 121%. Of GDP, but here's, as of the end of 2020.
Here's the ultimate problem. Over that same period, interest rates have moved materially higher, and obviously as a result of that, the annual interest expense on U.S. public debt has surpassed $1 trillion. That's more than double over the last 3 years. And so we are in this spiral, and that is to do with the amount of debt that we have and the interest rate being higher. And it doesn't matter till it does. And when it does, it's going to be very painful. And I thought this was, you know, because we weren't increasing our debt level at unbelievably rapid rates like we have over the last few years. And I thought this was a problem when I was an old man. But it's all being pushed forward. And it's a very unfortunate situation because none of these doofuses in D.C., you know, they can't get anything done. Like, literally, they can't get anything done. And so the idea that they're going to tackle this is laughable. Okay, we got an email from Larry W. Larry, hopefully you know who you are. It says, hello again, I've been listening to your weekly podcast for a few months, so I don't know if you've mentioned this regarding the current inflation situation. This is Larry's opinion, by the way. I just want to make that clear, not my opinion. 4 years ago, about the time COVID came around and Biden took office, some things happened. I don't know what the point of that is. One of the first things Biden did was to stop construction on the Keystone Pipeline. Immediately, gas prices pretty much doubled. Government started paying people to do nothing. The stimulus payments to everybody in the country. Federal minimum wage was increased. Some states did the same. Now, I only have an associate's degree in business, but in Economics 101, one of the most fundamental rules is when a business expense increases with no increase in productivity, they have to raise prices. And then he says, see minimum wages, business taxes, green fees, and crime. Also, printing and handing out money for doing nothing kind of makes the idea of money perplexing. I guess I agree with that part. Plus, the immediate result of stopping the pipeline had a huge psychological effect in the country as far as energy prices. It was pretty easy for me, meaning Larry, to predict that in a couple of years we'd see big inflation. I'm quite sure you guys must have also predicted the same. What was covered in your podcast, just wondering, Larry?
Well, you know, I think Larry wants to make political attributions to inflation. And, I can certainly sympathize with some of the arguments that he makes.
Meaning he wants to direct it at a political party rather than both.
What I would also caution you to, you know, remember the previous administration in 2020 gave, you know, that's when we got that 15% spike.
The Trump administration,
GDP.
Right.
And the PPP, you know, and in full disclosure, like, we were recipients of that, and every one of our small business clients were as well. Like, that was the biggest boondoggle relative to the individual taxpayer and the biggest transfer of wealth to people that didn't need it and plowed it away into both investments and discretionary large ticket purchases or homes and real estate. And that was initiated under the prior administration. So to, you know, I don't think any party, populist, left or right, is any more interested in fiscal conservatism. There's very few participants, maybe on the right, that actually are true fiscal conservatives anymore. But, you know, I'm a subscriber to the horseshoe theory, which is those right and left wing populists have more in common than they'll care to admit. But the inflation thing is a structural deal. And yes, I want to acknowledge the reality of, like, you know, the current administration is certainly doing things to try to hamstring the energy industry. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, we're now producing more oil per day in U.S. field production than at any time in history. And that's as a response to market forces. And while on the margin, they're doing things to try to restrict that, like ultimately the free market is still working. And so, you know, there's definitely merit to some of the arguments you make there as far as like the conceptual, like long run effect of incentivizing lazy people and all these types of things. Like I can just totally sympathize that with that. But inflation is structural in nature, and it's as a result of demographic shifts largely. It's really tough to attribute it to a particular administration, and it was always going to happen in this decade if you were a believer in that great demographic reversal like I am. But that being said, like COVID just accelerated the timetable that already existed. And so, but to not acknowledge what went on in 2020 and those great stimulus transfer payments that weren't given to the average person, those are the ones that didn't really matter, and they were like that shot in the arm. But the PPP and the huge wealth transfer that occurred there to the upper part of the income stratification, realizing what that entailed for most people, I know most people out there don't even really understand what went on during that, but if they knew, they would definitely be out with their pitchforks, and I would be directing them toward the people that devised it more than anyone else.
Yeah, Larry, I'm going to try not to insult you. I don't know how that's going to happen, but this is a problem when ideology, you just don't have the facts. Like, you're just misinformed. And this is a frustrating thing about this country today is, you know, if you watch a certain news channel, if you watch MSNBC or CNN, you're going to see it one way. And if you, Larry, probably watch some version of Fox News or Newsmax, you're going to see it another way. And instead of people seeing what actually happened, you let ideology determine how you want to view what happened. And you look through your lens, and I get that it's your lens for a reason, but it's not based on fact, right? I mean, Josh didn't even attribute any blame to the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury. I mean, they increased the money supply by, you know, 100% in 18 months. I mean, 40% in 18 months. Our money supply grew by almost 50%. That alone, forget everything else, is inflationary. The Fed leaving interest rates at zero in an emergency policy stance. And guess what? Jerome Powell's a Republican. Like, to say that like it is one party's fault or one president's fault is utterly ridiculous. Like people need to be armed with the facts before they can make these statements about assigning blame.
Remember, like inflation anywhere and everywhere is a monetary phenomenon. And when you balloon the money supply, particularly in the way that it was done in combination with those fiscal transfer payments, like of course you're going to have inflation in the wake of that. And but again, like,
well, we also had tremendous supply constraint problems. I mean, like, there's all of these reasons that conspired to create inflation, but you can't say it was Donald Trump's fault solely, or it was Joe Biden's fault solely. I blame way more. I place way more blame on the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury than I do on either of those two administrations. Yes, if let's say we had COVID, the supply problems, and they sent all that money, I still think the Fed could have quelled inflation by raising interest rates. Like, that would have stopped the inflationary spiral. They could have dealt with the forces that were inflationary by just raising interest rates to slow economic activity.
We could have.
So at the end of the day, it's more blame goes to the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury. So Janet Yellen and Jerome Powell than either the Trump administration or the Biden administration. And you can argue all you want, but you need to go out and look at the actual facts rather than looking through your ridiculous ideological lens. All right, on that note, if you would like to ask us a question or give us a comment, we would love to hear from you, but make sure it's based on fact rather than your ideology. 877-670-7117, or email us by going to our website, northwestquadrantwealth.com. When we come back, we're going to tell you how much do you actually need to retire. So stick around.
Get your free one-hour retirement review. Meet with a Northwest Quadrant Wealth Management Investment Advisor today for free. It's our offer to you as a listener to the show. Give us a call today to schedule your portfolio review. 800-743-0988. Again, 800-743-0988.
Did you know TSNS Ford in Madras is on its fourth generation of ownership? Did you know TSNS Ford founders homesteaded Jefferson County in the 1800s? Did you know TSNS Ford is the only medium-duty Ford dealer in Central Oregon that it specializes in high performance and is Oregon's only Shelby truck dealer and is home to the official Harley-Davidson F-150? Did you know TSNS offers zero APR on select models with approved credit? And the TSNS finance team has decades of experience with good credit, bad credit, and no credit at all. Now you know. TSNS Ford, part of Central Oregon's history, community, and future. TSNS Ford in Madras open every day. Swing by or give them a call at 541-475-7204. Or check them out online at madrasford.com. Drive a little, save the most. TSNS Ford on Highway 97 in Madras. A Thomas family dealership serving Central Oregon for over 87 years.
Hunting for a new place to live in Bend? Want amenities like a modern kitchen, attached garage, washer-dryer? Put Alpine Meadows Townhomes on your list of places to see. Alpine Meadows Townhomes, quiet and affordable. With one, two, or three bed plans, you'll find the space you want and call it home. Alpine Meadows Townhomes. See them online, then call for a personal showing. 541-330-0719. Conveniently located on Northeast 6th in Bend.
When you think about family and home, hopefully it brings back some wonderful memories. That's what Mountain Glen Apartments are all about, making new memories for your family. When you call Mountain Glen home, you'll enjoy a modern designer kitchen with plenty of counter space and storage. Choose from one, two, or three bedroom homes on the corner of Butler Market and Boyd Acres Road. Mountain Glen, where memories are made. Find them online, Mountain Glen Apartments. Then call for a personal showing, 541-383-9313.
Need a windshield? 70% of replacements are done incorrectly. Cascade Auto Glass gets it right the first time, and they come to you. Proudly serving Oregon for 30 years, and now serving and replacing windshields in Lapine and Madras. You can trust the experts at Cascade Auto Glass with their state-of-the-art ADAS camera recalibration. You know your windshield does more than just provide you with pretty views. It keeps you safe. Go to CascadeAutoGlass.com to get your free quote today.
Hi, this is Scott Trout of Cordell & Cordell. If you're a dad who is facing divorce, there are extra layers of stress that may include stereotypes and assumptions. No two situations are the same. Our legal experience and dedication prepare us for whatever legal challenges we face together. You need a partner you can count on. For more than 30 years, Cordell & Cordell has represented men in divorce.
For matters in Idaho, visit CordellCordell.com, 999 West Main Street, Suite 100, Boise, Idaho, 83702.
Thank you for joining Financial Focus Radio Show. Honest, transparent analysis brought to you every week by Tyler Simonis and Josh Finelli. Call the show anytime at 877-670-7117. We'll try to answer your question on the air in the following weeks. Now, back to the team from Northwest Quadrant Wealth Management.
Welcome back. I am part of said team, Tyler Simonis, and that guy over there, he's Josh Finelli. The one and only, ladies, Josh Finelli. We're partners at Northwest Quadrant Wealth Management. I guess men, too. Northwest Quadrant Wealth Management here in Bend. And if you want to sign up for our e-newsletter, you can go to our website. That's northwestquadrantwealth.com. Just send us an email. Say, add me to your e-newsletter list, and we'll get you on that list. You just on the 15th and 30th of every month, we'll get a short 5 or 6 minute video from us, where Josh and I are talking about what's going on in the capital markets and, most importantly for our clients, how it affects their portfolios. This comes from Bloomberg again. In the year August 2000, Fortune magazine published 10 stocks to last the next decade. By December of 2012, so 12 years later, a portfolio containing those 10 stocks had lost 75% of its value. And this is Fortune, right? There's some sharp cookies that work at Fortune. Again, another reason that if the so-called experts can't be picking winners, why do you think you are going to be so good at it either? So, it's really, really hard. It doesn't seem like it should be hard, but it is really, really hard to pick stocks successfully. Most stocks have
awful track records over time. And then so this sort of reiterates that all economists agree that predicting a stock's price is tough, but only 59% of Americans agree with that statement. So, you know, most of you out there think that picking winning stocks and knowing what the direction of the market is relatively easy to see. We know that that's not true. Josh and I know, doing what we do, that it's not true. You know, we had in the middle of June, toward the ends of June, when the market was down, the S&P was down 20, and the NASDAQ was down almost 30% on a year-to-date basis, worst start to the year in a long, long time. We had a lot of people saying to us that the market was going to go down another 20% by the end of summer. Here we are close to the end of summer, and markets have rallied significantly.
And our phones are dead.
Yeah, and those people that thought that the end of the world was imminent, guess what? They're gone. And, you know, it's so hard for us to not call them and say, well, what happened? Now that stocks are up, shouldn't we go to cash? Like, this is when we should go to cash, right? And, you know, it's like, why weren't you calling us last December when the market wasn't at an all-time high and saying, you know, I think markets are going to go down? No, you waited for markets to go down 20% and then you called. And so don't be one of those people. You cannot time markets. It's time in the markets rather than trying to time the markets. It's just how you'll be successful. But you should, none of you should be out there picking individual stocks. If you do it over time, the S&P is going to trounce you. And I know you can say, I'm going to buy Amazon, I'm going to buy Apple, I'm going to buy Google. Those are all unbelievably great businesses. They've created wealth like almost nothing ever has. But that doesn't mean that they're going to beat the S&P 500 over the rest of your investing lifetime. Statistically, the chances of that happening are close to zero. Okay, let's talk about taxable investment accounts. So, you know, this is one of those things that Josh and I take for granted, knowing that these things exist. But when we talk to them, when we talk about them with prospective clients or clients and adding money to them or opening them and funding them, it's as if we're splitting the atom. So Josh, first just explain, I know it sounds basic, but explain to everybody what a taxable investment account is. And then we can talk about why we think they're so great.
Taxable investment account is just like it sounds. It's just essentially a bank account for stocks. And most people out there listening, you may already have one and you probably call it or reference it as your brokerage account. And that's just a place that, you know, it's not, you're not getting tax deferred growth like you would in an IRA, and you're not able to reduce your taxable income via contributions. It's just a place where you are parking money and you can own the exact same investments in a taxable account that you buy in your retirement accounts.
Yeah. So, I mean, the advantage is, so the wealthiest people in the world, this is where most of their money is. So they either have it in the trust, but if you think about, you know, Jeff Bezos or Bill Gates or all these guys, they own most of their shares in the company in a taxable form. It's not in a tax-deferred form because there are no contribution limits. You can put $100 billion in a taxable account.
Which is its greatest advantage, is the extreme flexibility that you're offered. And it's, you know, that money is liquid in 2 days if you're buying something that settles on the New York Stock Exchange. So
it's the other reason, you know, the Bernie Sanders of the world talk about, Elizabeth Warren talk about why the wealthy pay the lowest, such low tax rates. You know, they say, well, you know, these guys are paying 15 or 20% taxes when their secretary is paying 25%. And it's because this is how most of these people get their, where they get their money. And the taxation of these accounts is at a much more favorable rate than ordinary income.
I think is a great segue to one of the other primary advantages of this type of account is it offers near tax-free compounding if you plan carefully. So, you know, if you're like us and you're using exchange-traded funds that don't pay capital gains each year, you're essentially going to have very minimal tax liability associated with this account, provided you're not actively realizing big gains.
So, of course, I max out my retirement contributions every year dutifully, but, you know, I can save more. Thankfully, I'm thankful enough that I can save more above that. And so I save way more in this kind of account that's a joint account for my wife and I than I do anywhere else. And like Josh said, you have full liquidity. I have access to this money at any time. In fact, I have a checkbook on my taxable investment account. I don't have to wait till I'm 59 and a half. If a business opportunity comes up, I can use it for that. And again, remember, I'm paying capital gains rate taxes, which is a lower tax rate than my income tax rate. And I'm just paying it on the gain, not the total amount, like when you take money out of your IRA. So there's a ton of flexibility that go along in owning a taxable investment account. And then most importantly, and this is the big one, because we've been doing this so long, when you get to retirement, and let's say you have a client with a $2 million IRA and you have a client with a $2 million taxable account, the person with a $2 million taxable account is in much better shape because their tax liability to get at their money is so much less than the person taking money out of the IRA. So if you take money out of a traditional IRA, you're paying ordinary income tax on the whole amount. So if you take out $10,000 and you live in the state of Oregon, most likely you're going to net about $7,500 after taxes, $7,500. If you take the same $10,000 out of a taxable account, you can do some tax planning that your tax liability might be negligible at best.
The reason we're such big proponents is because you're able to control where your marginal dollar, that next dollar, comes from. And so when you have those big one-time expenses, you don't need to be raiding your IRA above your required minimum distribution to access that money. So it lowers your overall cost of capital, gives you that big amount of flexibility. And we see the psychological impact of a higher net after-tax distribution, and then that it leads to people actually wanting to spend their own money. We see this unnatural aversion to spending from a qualified account because of the tax liability associated with distributions.
The financial services industry, financial advisors, CPAs, want everybody to put as much money and have all their money in tax-deferred accounts. We're just not as bigger proponents of that, because when you get to retirement, like Josh said, the accessibility of these taxable investment accounts is so much better, and you can control the taxes. So as long as you invest in tax-efficient investments, which is what you should be doing in these kind of accounts, you should be aggressively saving in a taxable investment account. All right, if you want to be part of the program, you have a question or comment, give us a call, 877-670-7117. Or you can always send us an email by going to our website, northwestquadrantwealth.com. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Sign up for our e-news today. Get the latest thoughts on the market every other week from Northwest Quadrant Wealth Management, delivered right to your inbox. The short 5 to 6 minute video helps you keep up with the market. You can always watch past videos on northwestquadrantwealth.com.